Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this important edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We don't have any things to say from God's Word to this generation that isn't vital to our victory if you're a Christian, vital to your eternal destiny if you're not a Christian today. So please stay tuned to this station. God really, really wants to give His people victory and to make every person on this planet who doesn't know Him His child and secure you. Praise God to seal you with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So they're the only real security and safety for this world or the world to come is in Jesus Christ today. So we just pray that you will take time for the most important issues of your life today, and you will listen to what God's Word has to say to you from the Bible. Praise God. Amen. We are grateful to be with you right here on WMAF. We're grateful for WMAF. I just feel that this is a very, very special opportunity for us. We've been in radio ministry down through the years. We're working on our 37th year of ministry here in Tampa. We have been in ministry for over 38 years total, and we've been on radio quite a bit of that time down through the years. We were on radio in between Dover and Sefner on WINQ, the Send the Light broadcast years and years ago in the beginning, and then on WSOL in Tampa. Neither one of those stations exists today. I'm dating myself. They're all gone, and I'm still preaching on the radio. But we were on WSOL on Kennedy Boulevard, downtown Tampa, half a day Spanish, half a day Christian programming for a long, long time. And now here we are again on the radio here on WMAF in North Florida, right there in Madison, your hometown radio station. Great thing about this little station is that it is hooked up to the World Wide Web. You can hear this broadcast, and you know that if you're listening by the web anywhere in the United States of America, any continent in the world hooked up to the web anywhere can hear this broadcast. I don't know why or how it's happening, but on our website, our church website, the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa, we are getting a lot of hits from China recently. And if you're listening to this broadcast in China, we are so glad that you are tuned in today. We're praying for the mighty revival behind the bamboo curtain, as we used to call it. But there is no barrier that God can't break and no place that the gospel can't thrive. Praise God. And we're just happy today to be part of the great thing that God is doing. We're a little part of something very, very big that God is doing. Well, having said all of that, pray for this station, that it'll continue to prosper, that every need of this radio station will be met, so that the gospel in song and the gospel in word and just good family-friendly programming can exist and continue to exist. We are grateful once again to be coming to you over this fine radio station. Now, having said that, I want you to turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11. This is the second in a series of receiving God's promises, the foundation for all victory. If you're a Christian, God wants your faith to be very strong in Him, and particularly that your faith be stimulated by the promises that He has given you and me today. You know, the Bible is a promise book. It's not a wish book. It's a promise book. And in this wonderful book, God has bound Himself to His own word to keep His word. Hallelujah. I've had a lot of people make promises to me that they just didn't keep. But God's promises are yea and amen to everyone that believes. He watches over His own word to perform it. Whether it's prophetically, what He said He's going to do, He's going to bring to pass, or whether it is His personal promise, what He has said, He's going to do. Praise God. So having said that, I want to read just one, two, three verses of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning receiving God's promises. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34 once again says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises." Hallelujah. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned the armies of the aliens to flight. Praise God. Hallelujah. One paraphrase said, received what God had promised them. This is a great, powerful, wonderful key to having God work in our life, is taking Him at His word, literally receiving of what God promises us with joy and anticipation, and then standing on the word of God, receiving the promise in hope and standing upon the promise in faith. And today we're going to talk about waiting upon the promise with patience. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's easier to receive the word from the Lord in the form of a promise with anticipation, and it's easier to stand upon the word by faith than it is to wait upon the promise with patience. I have no problem really initially getting excited about the prospect of God keeping a great promise in His word to me and receiving it by faith and standing on that. It's when I stand there for a while on that word. Do you understand what I'm saying today? It's not the standing on it, it's the continuing to stand on it. It's the patience part. I used to pray the humorous prayer, "Lord, give me patience and hurry." Well, God moves in a time frame that is not always the way we would want Him to move. I want it yesterday, to be frank about it. I'm not good on patience. I'm learning to be patient, because in your patience possess ye your souls. Listen to me very, very carefully today. This is probably the hardest part of receiving God's promises, is waiting on it with patience. After receiving it in full anticipation of God fulfilling His promise, standing on the word in faith that God is faithful. But when we start waiting upon the promise with patience, that's where many times the victory is either won or lost. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 through 37, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry." Literally, we need to develop a spirit of holy tenacity. You have to get a hold of something called endurance, praise God. And after you've endured, you receive the promise the Scriptures declare. You know, the Bible said in the preceding verses here in Hebrews chapter 10, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. If anyone thinks when you come to Christ the battle's over, you're very mistaken. When you come to Christ, the battle has just begun. But the difference is God now takes up the fight, and we win the battle that ensues. But believe me, there's going to be a battle, and one of those battles is not just with the enemy of our soul, the devil. One of those battles is with our own flesh, and particularly in the area of impatience. It's upsetting to find that God doesn't operate according to our time schedule, isn't it? Assuming God will respond immediately to our prayers, we rise from our knees expecting to find the answer waiting for us. But more often than not, there's a waiting period, the asking and the receiving. Between them, there's a waiting period. And this presents a problem to 20th century believers in these days of instant coffee, instant credit. We have a low tolerance for delay. Tomorrow, says Eric Hoffer, has become a dirty word. We want it today. We want it now. The interim between asking and receiving is a precarious time for believers. Our faith droops. Our feelings sell out many times to the enemy. And doubt unpacks its suitcase for an extended visit, one man said. C.S. Lewis said, faith is the art of holding on to things your reasons once accepted, in spite of your changing moods, when everything we once easily believed suddenly seems improbable and illogical. It is this hanging on faith that holds us on course and keeps us anchored in the unfailing promises of God. I like that term, hanging on faith. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews deals with this hanging on faith and shows us how to wait for the promise in patience. The Christians to whom the author wrote were facing persecution so severe their faith was threatened with collapse. Some were even talking of defecting. To shore up the walls of their collapsing faith and to enable them to emerge from this trial, Paul reminds them of their previous trials and how they overcame them. He speaks of great reward in verse 35 and of receiving what was promised in verse 36. The entire passage dovetails into the last phrase in verse 36. That is the end toward which everything moves, that you may receive what was promised. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's telling them what they must do if they are to receive what was promised. Praise the Lord. The third condition for receiving the promise is patience. It is often translated endurance. This is the bridge between doing the will of God and receiving the promise. Receiving what God has promised depends upon not only doing the will of God, but enduring after His will has been done. Many fail to receive simply because we fail to endure. You know, the Bible said to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I don't know how your prayer life operates, but in my prayer life and faith life, many of the things I pray for sometimes seem to go into a worse condition before it gets better. It sometimes seems to go in reverse of what I'm praying for before I see the breakthrough. And I realize that the test is being put forth. And the test is whether I will continue to stand on the Word or whether I will give up and question God. And the devil is counting on my impatience and my lack of perseverance. He's counting on me getting weary in well-doing. But the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall receive if you faint not. Oh, how many times has my heart felt so faint, so weak, so easily discouraged and dissuaded from continuing to stand for something that it looks like God is not listening. Heaven feels like it's brass and closed up, and the circumstance itself is defiantly declaring that nothing is going to change, and prayer and faith isn't changing anything. Well, friend, I want to tell you today, that is a lie right out of the pit of hell. God does listen to our prayers. He hears us when we call upon Him, but He moves in His way and in His timing. Praise the Lord. We used to say He may not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. The writer is using the language of the athlete here. A football team may lead their opponents by 100 points, but if they grow weary and quit after the third quarter, they will forfeit the game. We may be filled with confidence. We may obey all God's commands. But if we lack patience, it's all for nothing. This patience, which Philo calls the queen of virtues, is more than simply waiting or passive resignation. Barclay says this, "There's no single English word that transmits all the fullness of its meaning in Scripture. The Greek word literally means an abiding under." I want to say that again. This patience we need in the Greek literally means an abiding under, and contains the ideas of steadfastness, constancy, staying power. Rather than being passive, biblical patience is a lively, outgoing power of faith. It's an active energy. This word is most often used in connection with trials. In classical Greek, it was used of the ability of a plant to live under hard and unfavorable circumstances. Boy, that's what they've got to have if they're in my yard. I don't have a green thumb. If they can't take care of themselves, they're in deep trouble. And so whatever I pick has to be cold-hardy. It has to be able to live in the direct sun without a whole lot of water. It has to get its own nutrients because I forget to fertilize. Listen, if anything grows in my yard, it's strong. Praise God. If the writer says we need endurance, then we can expect to encounter difficulty. Depend on it. Faith never escapes testing. I tell our congregation often, you wouldn't have a testimony if you didn't have any testing. It's only by the testing of our faith that Christian character is produced. And it isn't that the real goal of everything in our Christian experience? Isn't the important thing not that we just get the blessing, but that through the process of receiving the promise, our character is perfected? I don't know if you ever thought about that. God's not just interested in meeting your need, but in having His need to see us grow and become more like Jesus Christ. God wants to see that happen in us. He wants to perfect our character. And I'm telling you, when the heat is on, when we've expected to receive from the Lord, and we stood on the Word of God by faith, and then this waiting period comes, and this time passes, God begins to find out, we begin to find out what God already knows about us, that our patience begins to wear thin. And doubt arrives during that time passing and unpacks its bags to try to stay long enough in our heart to discourage us. God wants to dispel that doubt and expel that fear today in the name of Jesus. James tells us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials in James 1 and verse 2. But we can do this only if character means more to us than comfort. Ah, my friend, I'm going to tell you, I don't like trials. If I had the choice, knowing that they do us good, preaching to you right now that we need trials in our life. You know, I know that. I know that my faith is going to get flabby if I don't have some tests from time to time. I'm going to become self-sufficient and more independent from God if there are not those valleys where I have to lean so heavily upon Him. But friend of mine, I have never to this day gotten up in the morning and said, Lord, life is going too smooth. Everything has been just too good. I feel my faith getting flabby here. Lord, I need a trial. Send me a trial. Don't send me a little trial either, Lord. Send me a fiery trial. Send me something that'll drive me to my knees. Send me something that'll put me on my face. Send me something that'll cause me to focus unbroken upon You. and not just glance at you when I need something, but set my gaze upon you. I never prayed that way. So God engineers this. If he was waiting for us to ask for trials, we'd never ask, and our faith would get flabby. We would become independent, and we would take for granted the grace that carries us through. But God works not just on the outside through the circumstances of our life, but he works on the inside of us. You know, if he doesn't speak to your storm today and say, peace be still, and change all the circumstances around you, one thing I guarantee you, if you will let him and acknowledge his grace and mercy extending right now, if he don't speak to the storm without, believe me, friend, he will speak to the storm it has created within you. And when he says, peace be still to your soul, be still and know that I am God, literally in control when things seem out of control. Praise God. He will always speak peace within. I'm learning that down through the years and through all the tears of my life. I'm learning. I got radically saved at 21 years of age. I came to the Lord at 12, but fell away because I didn't know what I had, didn't appreciate it or appropriate it. But at 21, I made a full-blown, full-out commitment to Jesus Christ. And from 21 to 63, the age I am now, there have been many valleys. There have been many times when my faith has shaken and wavered. There have been many times when doubt has unpacked its bags and come for a prolonged stay in my life. But I've went to the Lord and learned no more. I've learned more about Him in the valleys and know more about Him than I would have ever learned by just sitting passive on a mountaintop. I don't like trials. I just don't. Amen. I don't like pressure. I really don't like pain. But I love God. And if it takes some pressure and pain to keep me focused on Him and to develop the nature of Jesus within me, then God, give me the grace and give me an understanding spirit. And Lord, with all of that, develop within me patience. Praise God. This patience contains a quality of expectation. It's not waiting, hoping God will answer. It's waiting, knowing God will answer. With God, time is more important than time. He knows what He is about, and we must wait with patience, expectant, excited endurance for God to fulfill His promise in time. Whatever the reason for the delay, rest assured, God's timing is perfect, and that His delays are as much a part of His redemptive purpose as are His fulfillments. And if we learn the art of waiting for the promise, we may discover the delay to be greater than a greater blessing than the fulfillment. Now that's a mouthful. I'm gonna say that again. We may discover the delay to be a greater blessing than the fulfillment. Why? Because while we're waiting and enduring, that faith muscle that's under the pressure is growing. Praise the Lord. It is human nature to panic, to rush to solve problems immediately with little thought and less prayer. But that's not God's intent, and that's not God's way, and that's not what God wants to teach us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants to develop us in this very important virtue called patience. The Bible is literally said to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You say, well, Pastor Venable, which one is more important, faith or patience? Well, it takes both of them to inherit the promise. They're of equal importance, but we just kind of put faith on the top shelf, and sometimes patience, if put on a shelf at all, is on the bottom shelf. But it's kind of like flying in an airplane, and the pilot's saying, you know, one of the wings is going to fall off of this plane. Which one would you rather fall off, the right one or the left one? Well, of course, we don't want any wing to fall off. It takes them both to keep that plane aloft. And it's faith and patience that causes us to inherit the promise. Chuck Swindoll was told this true story of Joe Gibbs, the head coach of the Washington Redskins. Joe's friend, Frank, looked out the window one morning. There was his fateful Labrador retriever sitting on the front porch with something hanging from the dog's jaws. A closer look revealed it was his neighbor's pet rabbit. Frank panicked. What was he to do? His mind raced through the options and later landed on the one he thought was best. He pulled the rabbit from the dog's mouth and brought it into his kitchen. He washed off all the dirt and gunk. Then he, too, put it into the bathroom and pulled out the hair dryer and blew the dead creature until it was nice and fluffy. For a dead rabbit, it looked pretty good. That night after dark, Frank crawled over the back fence and placed the dead rabbit back in his cage. He then slipped back through the darkness, hopped the fence, and breathed a sigh of relief. His scheme seemed perfect until the next morning, when there was a loud banging on his front door. When Frank opened it, there was his neighbor with a dead rabbit clutched in his hand. "Frank," he said, "we have a real sicko in the neighborhood. My rabbit died 3 days ago, and I buried it in the backyard. Some nut dug it up, cleaned it off, and stuck it back in its cage." "Ah, friend of mine, sometimes it really gets crazy when we panic and rush to solve problems immediately with little thought and less prayer." This humorous story shows us how impatient we are and how many times we just want to solve things, resolve things without praying and waiting upon the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, in closing, verse 28 through 31 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Listen, friend, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they will walk, and they will not faint." Praise the Lord. Oh, God is a man of His Word, a God of His Word. He will watch over His Word to perform it. The hardest part of faith is waiting upon the Lord and waiting upon the promise. Praise God. I encourage you today that whatever you're trusting the Lord for, don't be impatient. Don't let yourself get weary and faint-hearted because time is passing and it doesn't look like or seem like anything is changing. God has heard your cry. God cares deeply about you and your circumstance today. Don't let the enemy tell you. Don't try to take things into your own hands. Trust the Lord. Wait patiently for Him, the Scriptures say, and He will bring it to pass. In His time, in His wisdom, and His way, He will bring it to pass. Praise God. Well, we love you today. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, then the Bible says of you that you are without hope and without God in this present world. The Lord doesn't want you to live without hope, but to live in hope. A hope that even death can't conquer. In the certain hope of the resurrection, Christians die. And in the hope of God's help in this world, in this life, Christians live in the certain hope that God will come through, that God will not leave us nor forsake us. He wants to save your soul today. He wants to forgive your sin today. Christ wants to be your Savior today. He doesn't want you to be banished and punished eternally. He wants to hold you now and take you home when this life is over and keep you forever. Friend of mine, would you just say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart now. I receive you now as my Savior. We love you today. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.